Let's have prayer as we get started with Sunday school today. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Father, we know that this is your word and we want to learn from you what you want us to do, how you want us to live. We pray that you would not only give us wisdom, but Lord, give us heart, knowledge, and help us to practice what we learn, to be doers of your word, dear God, because it is not enough just to be learning, to make it head knowledge, but we need to make it part of our lives. We need your help today, we pray. We need wisdom, Lord, and we need anointing. Help each one of us, Lord, as we study your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we're going to take up this part of the distinctions of holiness, salvation of the soul. And the question that we can begin with is, what does it mean? What is salvation of the soul? What does that mean to you? Would anyone like to take a guess? What does it mean?
It's a transformed life.
A transformed
life.
A rescued life.
Saved
from something, the wrath of God. Okay. Saved. The word saved, of course. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from something. Yeah. Salvation of the soul.
Redemption.
Salvation is that new spiritual birth. It means to be saved, like Brother Cable was saying. And then we have different places where we can see that God intends for us to be saved. That is, he wants humanity to be saved. He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved. Thank the Lord. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, that all should come to the knowledge of the Savior, to be saved. That's God's will. We all know John 3:16. We could all repeat it. What is John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This God intends for us, that is, that we should be saved, that we should have eternal life. Praise the Lord. He wants to redeem us. That's his will. That's because he loves us. Thank the Lord. Salvation is this new spiritual birth, to be saved. And as Sister Sands was saying, it's to be free from danger, to deliver from misfortune, to be safe. It means to give eternal salvation or to achieve eternal salvation. Repentance is needed for salvation. 1 John 1:9. We know that verse too, don't we? If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us, yes, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. So if we repent, if we come to him in repentance, confessing our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. Praise the Lord. This is what he wants. And it's a gift for us. We don't have to earn it. We are saved by grace, by means of faith. Would someone want to read Ephesians 2, 8 through 10? Someone want to read that for us. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Whoever has it first and would like to go over to the mic to read, that would be good. If you're shy about the mic or if you'd rather not read, that's fine. But only the ones that would like to volunteer. Go up in the reef. This is because we cannot hear it if we're not all in the mic when it comes to the digital version. Okay, Cynthia, would you read Ephesians 2, 8 through 10?
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Thank you. So that verse tells us there's nothing that we can do to earn the salvation. We are saved by grace, by means of faith. Nothing that we have earned, like we can say, I've done so much, therefore I am to be saved. No, it's never anything, period, that we have done that saves us. It's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we can merit salvation when we acknowledge him as Savior. Yes, sir.
For many years, I thought, well,
That's right. It still is. It always is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right. It's only because of that sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's never anything we do, even when we repent, right? Like you're saying.
Even our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is necessary.
Yeah.
Our faith does not.
Mm-mm. No, the one that affects the salvation is God. Because of the merits of Christ on the cross. He is the one that affects the salvation upon us. We cannot earn it by any works, whatever, any kind of thing. Because if we did, then some of us would be tending to boast and say, hey, I did more. I deserve more, period. But no, it's never based on something we do. It's always on God's grace. We do need faith because we accept it by faith, but it is free, a free, undeserved, unmerited favor God puts upon us. Thank the Lord. We are saved by grace by means of faith. But now, the other question is, okay, so works do not save us. Therefore, once we have faith and we say, Lord, I accept you into my life. Oh, thank the Lord, that's over with. Now I can do whatever I want to. Really? Is that so? Well, what do you think? You think not. Well, brother, but works do not save us. So how in the world can we reconcile these two things? You tell me. If works do not save us, yet you're saying to me we need to do something? Tell me, how do we reconcile both? So what kind of works are they then that are we doing? Obedience? Works of the Spirit? Works of righteousness? In other words, it's because of the transformed life that our life takes a different direction. And it's because of that change that has happened that we just want to do those things anymore. That's because it comes from our heart. We want to do God's will. It takes a transformation of the heart. And because of that, then our life evidently produces works that are different from the previous works of the flesh, if you will, the works of sin. So, good works do not produce salvation. Salvation produces good works. Would someone care to read James 2, 14 to 26, and would care also to go up to the mic? So if you're not willing to read, that's okay. You don't have to, but if you would like to, and read for us James 2. 14 to 26. It's a little lengthy passage, but let's see if we can do this one.
What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Thank you. So what does this passage teach us then? What is the teaching here? Is it contradicting the other passage that Paul writes and he says, we are saved by grace through faith? What, is this contradicting the passage? James and Paul are at odds with each other?
This is written to brethren.
to brethren, people who are already saved. What does it profit, my brethren? Okay, so what's the difference there then? Produces the works. We're talking then about a living faith. A faith that shows itself by the way we live. It's going to be a different lifestyle, period. Because of that faith that we have, then our life is going to be different. Now, I know that people that come from a tradition that they feel they have to earn their salvation by doing something, this passage becomes problematic because they may tend to feel like, no, it's never by works, or the other way, yes, it's always by works. Martin Luther struggled and struggled through his experience when before he came to know Christ as his Savior and Lord and trust him, and he felt so strongly that it's by faith alone that he wrote it, by faith alone, and he underlined it, by faith alone. And then when he came to James, he said, let's take that book out of the Bible. He didn't like it. He really didn't. It caused a lot of problems for him because he came from a tradition that says, do this, do that, do the other, and then you will be in favor with God. And so with Martin Luther's background, that his, quote, previous religion was based on works, then he went the other way, if you will, says, faith alone. And yes, of course it is by faith, through grace, etc. But it produces a different lifestyle. So even though it was problematic for Luther, it doesn't have to be for us, because we can understand that it is this living faith that produces a different lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about. And I think if we can see both together, the passage that it is that we are saved by grace by means of faith, and yet this faith produces a different lifestyle, then we can say, oh yes, I know how it works now. Before I lived like this, I come to know Christ, now I live like this. That's the bottom line. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Was at the altar, and he had done some little thing mm-hmm. that we wouldn't believe that it's the right thing to do, but he says, I can't understand why he lost his salvation for doing some little thing like that. And I told him that I didn't believe he lost his salvation because he did that. He did that because he lost his salvation. Because the salvation is a spiritual. And before someone ever actually does something wrong, in their heart and mind, they have decided that they're going to disobey God.
And they've decided to go the opposite direction, go back to where they used to be.
So it's not primarily the action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the attitude of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an intent, yeah. Because again, as we saw before, there is that two different poles or two different sides, holiness, sinfulness. And once we decide to go to the other side, then we're not in holiness anymore. Now we're in sinfulness. So it's going to be like one or the other. We're going to have to make a choice here. And that's why it's important to remain faithful, to remain doing what God wants us to do. Good works do not produce salvation. Salvation produces the good works. And yes, we can choose not to follow Christ. We can choose to say, oh no, I'm not going to do that after all. The question that we had a while ago is also, save then from what? Save from what? And Sister Sams was saying, from the wrath of God. Yeah? We're saved from the wrath of God. What else are we saved from? Mm-hmm. Hell itself. Yeah.
Not only eternal punishment, but outcomes of our wickedness here on earth.
Mm-hmm. A life of perdition, if you will. A life of perdition.
Natural mm-hmm. consequences
mm-hmm.
of sin
mm-hmm.
here on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Life of perdition rather than the life of salvation. natural consequences of our sinful
Despair.
Despair. Yeah. Hopelessness. Yeah. Okay, so we are saved from sin in this world. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:15 and then Matthew 1:21 and Romans 6, 17 to 18. 1 Timothy 1:15, Matthew 1:21, then Romans 6, 17 to 18. Who would like to read 1 Timothy 1:15? Okay. And then who would like to read Matthew 1:21? Okay. How about Romans 6, 17 to 18? Okay. Let's read 1 Timothy 1:15.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Christ came to save sinners. That's the good news. Thank the Lord. He came to save sinners. Praise the Lord. And Matthew 1:21.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Thank you. He shall save his people from what? From their sins. And that's something very important here. That means he takes us out of those things, saves us from sins, that we don't have to continue living a sinful lifestyle. We can be taken out of that lifestyle. How about Romans 6, 17 through 18?
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Brother, it says we've been made free from sin. Now we're made servants of righteousness. The very thing we're talking about. This is the old lifestyle. Now we have a new lifestyle. We were living like this. Now we are living a different way. Again, because of salvation, we are saved from sin in this world. We're also saved from that wicked and perverse generation. Would someone like to read Acts 2:40? And then can someone get ready with Romans 5:9? How about first, who would take Acts 2:40? Okay, and then how about someone get ready with Romans 5:9? Who would like to do that one? Okay, Cynthia. How about Acts 2:40?
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Thank you. And that word untoward is that wicked and perverse generation. We are saved out of the wickedness, the lifestyle of sin, of the people that live this way. We're taken out of that group, thank the Lord. So we are being saved from sin and from that generation that follows a sinful lifestyle. Now we are redeemed, taken out. Yes? What? Taken out of the generation that lives the sinful lifestyle. Yeah, that doesn't mean we're taken out of the world. Jesus said you're in the world but not of the world. And so we are taken out of that generation that practices this lifestyle. Thank the Lord. We are saved. And that's wonderful because then we don't have to continue with all those awful consequences of that lifestyle, sinfulness. Now, if we have lived in sin and we have acquired, let's say, illnesses because of that sin, probably the illness will continue. I mean, you know, we suffer the natural consequences. They follow us. But we can be taken out of that continual lifestyle of sinfulness so that we don't continue acquiring more and more consequences, if you will, of sinfulness. But we are saved from sin in this world, saved from a wicked and perverse generation. And then, as we said, we are saved from the wrath of God to come in the future. Romans 5:9.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
We shall be saved from wrath. That is, that condemnation of hell that we deserve. We are saved. So the word to be saved implies a lot of things. First of all, we're saved from sin. We are saved from that sinful lifestyle. We are saved from condemnation in hell. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. He loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in him can be saved like this. Exactly what we're talking about. Saved from sin, saved from that sinful lifestyle, saved from the wrath of God to come. Praise the Lord. And the question also, can we be saved until the end? And this is a question that Brother Cable was bringing up a while ago about, you know, can we be saved like we're saved forevermore? From here on, we're saved all the way to the end. Now, what do you think? Can we be saved until the end? That's probably a trick question, but it has many sides. So what does it mean? Can we be saved until the end? Everybody's saying yes, yes, yes. So once we're saved, we're going to be always saved. Can we, what? You didn't say that either, huh? What's the question? Can we be saved until the end? Tell me, what does it mean? Huh? We can be by the grace of God. It's always by the grace of God, never by what we do.
As far as God's concerned, that's what he saved us to do.
Yes, he wants us to. He saved us from all of this, from sin, from the sinful lifestyle, from the wrath to come, so we can make it all the way. That's what God wants. This is the intended plan. Ooh, brother, you're bringing out another dirt verse here, right? Endureth till the end. Wait a minute, it's never by works. Didn't we just say that, brother? What happened? Yes, sir. Indeed. Big question. What does it mean to have eternal life? We're going to look into that in just a minute, too. Yeah. But can we be saved until the end? And our brother here says, he that endureth till the end. Well, you know, God wants everyone to be saved until the end. That's what God wants. And we have established that. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2:4. Someone would like to read that one, please. Can you tell me if you're going to read it? Volunteer. All right, Brother Cable. And then Matthew 10:22. How about, would you want to read it for us, brother? Matthew 10:22, after Brother Cable is done. And then Brother Johnson would read Matthew 10:22. But let's look at 1 Timothy 2:4.
Breaks in the middle of the sentence, so I'm going to read verse 3 as well.
Okay.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Who will have all men to be saved. Okay, God wants everybody to be saved, so that means everybody's going to make it to heaven. Well, what did you just read, brother? He will have all men to be saved. Ha, ha, ha. Tell me about it. Yeah. Yeah?
But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to have them.
Ah, it's your will, but it doesn't always come true, is it? This is his will. God wants everyone to be saved. God is so good that there is no exception. In other words, whosoever will. Praise the Lord. And that will is important. Because if you're not willing, then you don't get it. You got to be willing to say yes to God. God wants everyone to be saved. This is God's will. But Brother Johnson told us, would you read Matthew 10:22?
And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Whoa, okay. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. So what is the implication here then? Well, look, we're saved by grace through faith, and then we have to keep earning our salvation all of the time, every moment of the day. Therefore, a bolt of lightning comes upon us and we're gone. Okay, so then what? He that endureth to the end, you told us. What does that mean, brother? Stay in touch with heaven. Keep the communication lines open in communion with God. Yeah.
Enduring isn't necessarily working.
Being faithful, continuing faithfully in the walk that you're doing. Just the faith, the trust, the continual faith living. Yeah. As he is in the light, we continue to walk in that. Enduring has the idea of you're willing to continue. It's a matter of the will all the time. You're willing to continue there and not get out of that way. Persevere until the end. And then, if we keep his commandments, we remain in his love. Let's look at John 15:10. Who would like to read that one? John 15:10. Yeah.
If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Okay. If we keep his commandments, we abide in his love. What does that mean, abide? Abide.
Live.
Stay. Remain. Be steady. Continue. Abide. Yeah. So there's that implication that, okay, I came to God. I said, Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I know that you can save me, and I know you saved me. You've changed me. You've transformed me, but I have to abide. Continue.
Mm-hmm. By faith he left, mm-hmm. and by faith he walked, but he walked.
That's always a walk. Yeah, just like we said before, this, the way of holiness is a walkway. That means you continue until you make it to heaven. It's a continuance, an abiding. Yes, sir. James 2:23.
They were imputed. Bothers me a little. And the my question is, was Abraham aware of this? Can things be happening in our lives, God imputing, considering righteousness in our makeup, in our nature, in our attitude, our spirit, and we're living a life holy and pleasing to God and not be aware of it? Just read that and tell me what you're...
I'm not quite sure if I understand it. I'll read it, but it says, and the scripture was fulfilled by which Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Well,
that,
yeah,
imputed, yeah, and also it just means that you have put it. Like if you have this ledger, you're keeping accounts, you know, how much you owe here, how much you need to spend, etc. It's going to be put on this side and saying it's toward you, it's your favor, it's in your favor rather than against you. So God was saying it's in your favor that you have done this. Again, it's by grace because it's always the unmerited favor of God upon us. Because he says Abraham believed God and was given unto him as that faith that he needed for salvation and for righteousness, for righteous living. So it's accounted on this side rather than the other side toward him, that faith that he has, because his belief implies this faith that he had in God. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah,
but that's not what this word is really talking.
It's an accounting term. It's a crediting. It's in your credit that you have faith, that you have this faith in God to live a different lifestyle, because it says accounted to him for righteousness so that he can live a different way. Faith produces this kind of lifestyle. So it's going to be a different thing than just saying, oh, look, I will overlook your debt. But it is being counted on the right side. It is in your favor. In other words, that you have faith in God, that you have this willingness to obey, to do God's will, to do what he wants you to do. So it's more than just covering you up and saying, I don't even see what you're doing. It's more than that. It is the faith that he sees that is credited to him as in his favor. Does that help?
Not especially, but
That word in the King James imputed, in the New King James that I have, is accounted, which is an accounting term. And then my marginal reading for the word says credited. So again, the ledger thing, you know, the checkbook, it is a deposit rather than an expense. You have it in your favor this much rather than against you. Your faith, that's what in your, what's in your favor. Yes. I'm not sure if you can say that, because the analogy is to talk about why he was living a different lifestyle, because that passage, as we read before, the context is that this kind of faith produces a different kind of lifestyle, and that's what it's dealing with here. So the application is for everyone, not just for Abraham. Abraham just happens to be the illustration or the analogy for this kind of faith. This faith produces a different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Well, because they go in the right balance again, the balance sheet. They go in the right direction. They go credited for us, not against us. Yes.
It is not dealing with salvation.
No. No, it's not dealing with being saved, but it's also talking about the faithfulness, because it's that faith believing that produces, the living faith that produces a different work lifestyle, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into that. You can deal with it some other time. But that's a different story. But if we keep his commandments, we remain in his love. God is able to keep us from evil until the very end. And that's the good news, that it is salvation. He is able to keep us until the very end. 2 Timothy 4:18 and Jude 24. Would someone want to read Jude 24 for us? Who wants to volunteer?
He's able to keep us from falling.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He is able to keep us from falling until he delivers us to the throne of grace, to the throne of God. In other words, God is able to keep us from evil until the very end. So, can we be saved until the end? The question is, well, yeah, God wants everyone to be saved. That's his will. We have to remain faithful, abide in him, so that we can make it to the end, because God is powerful, able to keep us. Now, our lifestyle is not going to save us. It never will. But it's going to help us to show God we're mean business. We are faithful. We abide. We want to do your will. We want to make it to heaven. You provided the salvation for me, and I want to be true to you. And I'm grateful for what you have done for us. Mere faith without active works is dead, just like the passage that we have been reading in James 2, 14 to 26. We must understand that good works do not produce salvation. Instead, salvation produces good works. Good works does not produce my earning salvation. It's not that which is going to be credited unto me because, you know, the good works that I do. But once I am saved, all these good works are credited toward my favor. That is, not because I'm earning, because God sees that I am mean business. I mean to be living like he wants me to be. I want to do his will. I'm not going to just be playing with this salvation or be neglectful of salvation. Okay, comments or questions to this point here? The bell rang, so I'm going to have to... Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
His purpose is to
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he came.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Make it possible for us.
Yeah. We have some questions back there. Brother Tom?
Here in my Bible, it has a definition of impute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The meaning of impute is to ascribe to or reckon.
Mm-hmm. Reckon. Mm-hmm. It's still a reckoning. This is what God accounts for us. A reckoning. Yes, very good. Brother, you had another comment too?
Well, and you're talking about the good being over on this side. So, there's a lot of people believe that there's a big scale.
Outweigh our bad works. Yeah.
Is it up to us to doubt whether someone receives salvation if they did not produce good works?
Well, of course, we're not going to be the final judge on anyone, period. And there is no such thing as a big scale that, you know, the good outweighs the bad. It never can be because it's never based on how good you are, period. It never is. Yeah. Yeah, because again, somebody could boast and say, I've done more than you can. Look at my scale. It's more heavy on this side than it is on that side. No, it's not based on that. Yeah. Okay, we'll have to stop right here. The bell rings, so we will continue next time.